This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com today.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Performance Anxiety, everybody, part of the Pantheon Podcast Network. And I'm going to make a confession. I have neglected a specific type of guest. Yes, it's everybody. I admit that I have neglected the unsigned artist. And this pandemic is a very weird time for unsigned artists. My guest on this episode is one of those artists, Autumn Hawk Percival. Her band, The Hawk Percival and Friends, is navigating some really weird times. We talk about the pandemic and how being in lockdown has actually helped her. We also discuss a mutual love of Neil Young, dealing with depression. We talk about Jethro Tull, both the band and her dog. And we dive into the lost art of listening to an entire album front to back. You can find The Hawk Percival on Bandcamp. Follow them at The Hawk Percival on Instagram. Follow us at Performance ANX on all social media. Email us at theperformanceanxietypod@gmail.com with comments, ideas, whatever you have. Subscribe, rate, review, check out all the great shows on Pantheon Podcast Network. And let's dive right into our show with The Hawk Percival on Performance Anxiety.
Okay.
And if it helps, I'll put my hand up so you don't have to see me. Because I know sometimes if you're looking at me, it's weird.
Okay. Here. Okay, ready? Okay. So, hi, my name is... Fuck, I already fucked it up. That's so weird. I'm like, how did I mess up saying my name? For a second, I was like, wait, like, how should I say my name? Like, let's start that over. Okay. So hi, my name is Autumn Hawk Percival, and I play in Hawk Percival and Friends, and tonight I'm on Performance Anxiety.
Well, thank you for coming on. This is really cool. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess the first thing to do is to just learn a little bit more about you. That's what the whole the podcast, I guess, is about. It's learning about some really cool artists, how you got into music, and how you got to where you are. So the first thing I want to know is, how did you get into music? Was your family musical? Did you start with music at an early age?
Yeah, my family's not musical, actually. I started piano. Like, my mom, though, even though, like, she's not really musical, she wanted me to, like, take piano more for, like, discipline. I had a lot of energy as a kid, so she was helping. piano would like help me like sit still. It didn't really, but at least I learned an instrument, you know?
Yeah.
And so that kind of like, that's definitely started it. And from playing piano, I started at like six or seven. And then I think I started playing guitar at 9. But before that, when I was like 7 or 8, like however old you were in second grade,
yeah.
Someone brought in Yellow Submarine to class. And that's what started it for me, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah, watching
the
it.
The Beatles, huh?
Yeah, I feel like that's everyone. Like, the Beatles got me music. Well, they really did.
It's true, but you're also a lot younger than a lot of people who have that influence. So
that's true.
So that's pretty cool that it's still influential. And Yellow Submarine, to be honest, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe for a kid that could...
Well, for a kid, yeah. You know, now that's definitely not my favorite. You know?
Yeah, it's not the Beatles album I would go to introduce exactly. Something to the Beatles unless they're 7 or 8 years old.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. If I had kids or something, like, I would listen to it, but...
Yeah, exactly. Throw in a little Octopus's Garden on the side.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So all right, so you started off with piano and guitar. When did singing... really take hold? Was that before you even started playing an instrument, or did it happen later?
Definitely. I always kind of just sang all the time when I was little. Like, I was just one of those kids. I was always like performing for like my friends' parents. Like, I was like really obnoxious.
That's awesome.
I was always singing, honestly. That was just always something I liked to do.
Yeah. What kind of music were you guys listening to in the house? I mean, you said the Beatles, but what were you singing? What was going on?
Well, not that, because honestly, my like personal music taste is not like close to my family's music taste. Like, my mom likes Hall and Oates, so she likes kind
yes.
of like 70s. Yeah,
love your mom.
That's like her era. Yeah. And then randomly, she likes Mariah Carey a lot. That's her favorite. Because my mom's very girly.
Oh, well, you know, I had her drummer on about 6 or 8 months ago. Gigi Gonaway.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Yeah. You know, the whole big big Unplugged show that she did with MTV? He was the drummer for that.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. Man, my mom loved that.
Oh, yeah. He toured with her for like a decade or something. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that must be insane.
Oh, yeah. And the guy's name is Gigi Gonaway. Dude, he has the best laugh. Oh, it's hilarious. Like, so infectious. So everybody go check out my episode with Gigi Gonaway.
Yeah. So,
plug myself in my own podcast. There you go.
I love it.
So where did you grow up? What area of the country?
I grew up in California. I was born in Salem, Massachusetts, randomly.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, super random. But I was raised, like, on the west side
okay.
in L.A.
Okay, so not with all the witches and the
no,
burnings and the dunkings.
Yeah. With all, like, the beach kids and, like, I went to school, like, close to Venice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Know a little bit about that. I don't know. I'm not real super familiar with California geography,
yeah.
But I know a little bit about that. So, all right. So, when did you start performing in public? How did that get started?
I'm trying to think, like with a band or just like in general?
Just in general, before you even started a band, or did it start before you were in bands?
Well, kind of. Like, I was always in like jazz band at school or like some form of like music class, whatever that school had. So I would definitely, like, do performances, but most of the time I was playing bass, and, like, it was none of my original things. Like, we were just playing covers for, like, the parents, you know, like, school stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was, like, high school, that's when that started.
All right. And when did it become more you, when singing your own music?
Probably... Is it 5 years? I think 5 years ago, because I lose track of time when my band started because I've had like multiple lineups. But like
right.
the solid one I've had for 5 years. So I think probably then, like honestly, with them, I felt the most like solid and grounded. So
okay,
the last 5 years, yeah.
Were you writing your own music before that? And when did you start writing your own material?
Okay, let me probably... Like real songs, probably a little bit before college, like maybe when I was like 17-ish, 18, maybe 16, yeah. 17. Like, and you get like angsty and stuff like that.
Yeah. Some people turn to other things. Some people turn to music. So
exactly.
Were you in other bands before Hawk Percival and Friends?
No, I've only played my own stuff. I'm singing on like my friends' tracks, but I always just play with my band only.
Oh wow! So how did you just okay? First of all, I want to know how did you decide on the name the Hawk Percival and Friends?
Okay. Well, Hawk Percival comes from Hawk is my spirit animal, like my animal guide's a hawk. And then Percival comes from Neil Percival Young. I worship Neil Young since I was 12 or 13 the first time I heard Neil Young.
Okay, all right.
And so since then, I've been like, oh my God, I'm all about him. And so I think I chose that name like when I was 16-ish.
That's fantastic. I'm a huge Neil Young fan myself. In fact, one of the other cool things about I'm recently joined a podcast network, Pantheon Podcasts,
and oh, nice.
they've got a Neil Young podcast. And in fact, the network themselves are endorsed by Neil Young. If you go to their webpage, there's a quote from Neil Young on the page.
Wow.
But this is a really cool show. It's called Long May You Young. And what they're doing is they're going through every single Neil Young album sequentially. And they're talking about it.
You should check that out. Oh my God, yes.
Absolutely, you should. If you're on social media, it's Long May You Young. Go to pantheonpodcast.com, I think. God, I'm still so new at that. I don't know what else.
Okay. I don't know what that is either.
Yeah, just check out Long May You Young. You're not going to find too much besides their podcast.
Yeah.
That. But they're funny
amazing.
Guys. Oh, yeah. It's a great podcast. I'm having a blast. I'm new to finding it out. They just actually did an interview with Nils Lofgren for the Decade album. So it's really cool.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
So shout out to my network mates at Long May You Young. All right. So what got you into Neil Young? What was the first album that you had?
I'm trying to think. Probably just a song. Was it Cowgirl in the Sand?
Oh, well,
it was either Old Man or Cowgirl. Definitely Cowgirl in the Sand because Old Man came later. Because yep. I did like a school project on that, but definitely
really?
Cowgirl. Yeah.
What kind of school project did you do on Neil Young?
Well, your sister was in middle school. So I think it was like 12 or 13. And like, we were supposed to bring a piece of poetry and analyze it line by line. Wow. So I brought Neil Young, Old Man, because to me, he was poetry, you know? He is.
Wow. Oh, he is one of the best songwriters this country, well, any country has ever produced. Canada, I guess.
Seriously? I forget he's Canadian.
I do too. Cool, because he doesn't live there anymore. Yeah. I know. Half my guests have been from Canada, so I'm sorry, oh, guys. God.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're appropriating Neil Young.
I know.
Gosh. But anyway, yeah, he's been one of my favorites for you know, since I was in college, I guess. So and for me, it started out with Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere album.
Yeah.
Really the first album I had of his. So that's what kicked it off because the guitar sound, the enormous solos and
right, that's what I love. Yeah.
And what's your favorite Neil song with Crazy Horse then?
Probably. I'm like, is Cortez the Killer?
Yeah, that's what I was. Yeah. That's my favorite too.
Cortez the Killer is my favorite. Yeah.
It's and Like a Hurricane is a close second.
Yes, Like a Hurricane.
But Cortez the Killer is just incredible.
It's so good.
So all right, so you're a big Neil Young fan. You try to incorporate that into your songwriting at all? Because what I've heard from, as my voice cracks, what I've heard of from your music, musically, it doesn't sound a lot like Crazy Horse. If anything, it sounds closer to Buffalo Springfield.
That makes sense. Yeah. Because honestly, I love, like, because I feel like Buffalo Springfield, like, the same, it's the same vibe as, like, Crosby, Stills, Nash. Like, I love that kind of vibe of rock and roll.
Yes.
But I do love listening to heavy. Like, most of my heavy influences, I feel like you won't really hear that much.
Yeah.
In what
I've heard, and I've heard the two songs that have been released and the music that you sent me.
Yeah.
And it's great. It is awesome stuff.
You. I love
it. It's got a great, like I said, late 60s vibe, and your vocals fit right in with that. Like some of the great girl groups of the late 60s and all, mid to late
60s. I love that. Yeah.
Well, it shows because it comes through in your singing, and it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's actually a very refreshing sound compared to, because I tend to go to a little heavier side myself. You got bands like, you know, Devin Townsend, Catatonia, even bands like Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, little heavier stuff, and your stuff is a little more retro sounding, little.
Yes.
As far as the sound, and you know, I haven't had a chance to go through the lyrics or anything, but the sound wise, it's lighter, but it's almost like Alabama Shakes, but kind of sweeter.
Oh wow! Thanks.
Brittany.
Awesome.
Well, Brittany Howard's just killer.
Yeah. So. Oh my God! So cool.
Are any of those bands influences? Are Alabama Shakes influences?
No, honestly, I'm pretty like. I only be that person that's like, I only listen to old music.
But right.
Like, I kind of do, honestly, unless it's like hip hop or I don't really like electronic music. I like soundscape more. So that's more modern that I'll listen to.
Okay.
But in regards to like rock and like soul, it's always going to be from like the 60s to like late 70s.
Oh,
Those are all my influences. Yeah, the good stuff. Those are all my influences come from.
So who is your influence on guitar? Because you actually play some amazing guitar on the what I've heard. It is just, I don't know. It fits right into that awesome late 60s period where people were just, you know, musicians, guitars were just starting to really stretch things out a bit. And you don't go and again, I'm qualifying all this with what I've heard.
Yes, yeah.
I don't hear like extended solos or anything like that, but it's all very solid, great riffing.
Well, that, if you're referring to the lead, that's my lead guitar player.
Okay.
I'm the rhythm. He has modern influences, but like he's very classic rock rooted. His main influence is like the Grateful Dead. I call him my Jerry.
Wow.
He's really good and like at fitting in with my melodies. And I honestly purposely, like when I'm writing melodies, I write it so like he can just like fill in the pockets. Like I always have him in mind.
Oh, that is awesome. That's what a band should be doing, right?
Yeah, right.
So who's in the band?
Okay, so we have, well, me.
You're Hawk Percival. Who are the friends?
Yeah, I'm Hawk Percival. And then my friends, we have Dylan Rodrigue, and he's been, like, he's one of my best friends. I've known him, how long ago was college?
wait, for you or me? Yes.
I'm like eight-ish years. Yeah. Like 7-ish, 8-ish years, because I took like a gap year, so I think I started at like 19-ish.
I took like 15
gap years. Maybe like 9 years. Wow.
I took like 15 gap years.
Yeah.
I did. I left school and then I went back like 15 years later to finish.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
No. Oh, I don't know. It was rough. It was rough. Oh, so anyway, okay, so the band. Who else? You've got Dylan.
Dylan, yeah, he's my guitar player. He's like my ride or die. He's been with me through most of the lineups, and like he's always stood by my side. He understands me on a creative level, an emotional level. He's just like my first mate. Like I call him first man, the captain. Sometimes he's the captain too because I'm a little airy and like space cadet-y, so sometimes like, you know.
So you're co-captaining this ship of the
exactly.
Personal.
Yes. When it comes to like directing and like, because I'm very like, he's very theory based and like he finished art school. I did it.
I'm right there with this.
Yeah. So he's like the music director sometimes, you know?
Okay. Okay. But who else we have?
Okay, and then we have Robert. He's my drummer. I have a sweet spot for him. I love him. He has been with me too for 5 years. My bassist, I think, now will be like 2 years. I'm really weird with time, but
yeah. Well, you know, when you're writing and gigging and playing, it doesn't always, you don't always keep track of it. So
exactly, I just know that we've been with each other for a while, and like it feels like family. But we have Robert, my drummer. He's amazing. I found him. He was playing in one of my ex's bands. He's like my close friend. And it was during, which Meatloaf? It was during a Meatloaf song. It was like at the party. And like, he did this crazy like drum fill. And like, I was on the side of the stage. And I literally like leaned into his kit. And I was like, dude, I'm talking to you. Like while he's like playing, like I'm talking to you after the set. Like, I'm doing this. And that's how I got it.
That's awesome. I love it.
It's, yeah, good times. And then Marcus, he also from another ex's band, he's just the best. I feel like he's the grounding force. Because I don't know if you're into astrology or not. He's a Capricorn. So, like, he keeps everything, like, hey, like, okay. Let's stay on direction.
I don't know anything about that, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was born at the end of June, so I don't know what I am.
You might be a Cancer.
I think that sounds right. June 28th, so I think that's...
Oh, my God. Yeah, you are.
Okay, there we go. I don't know what that means. I'm a crabby,
okay,
kind of a jackass, maybe. Like to pinch people. I don't know. All right, so you've been with these guys for quite a while now, and it sounds like it in the recording because you guys sound really tight, really together. You play very loose, but you, as a band, it's yes. An old Led Zeppelin tight but loose thing.
Yes. I like chaos with structure. That's my thing.
Yes. Yes. So speaking of that, that is kind of how we met, was through Scarlett Sabat.
Yeah.
So how do you know Scarlett?
From Instagram, honestly, we connected from her poetry.
Yes. Okay.
From her poetry, like she would post and I would just like read it, and then we ended up messaging, and then we just like became friends from that.
She's such a sweetheart. She came on.
She's amazing.
Oh, she's one of the sweetest guests I've ever had on the podcast. It was.
Aww.
I was kind of surprised that she agreed to come on. It's kind. I wasn't
really.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it at all. And then when she came on, I honestly didn't know what to expect because of, you know, who she's associated with. And
yeah.
So I was like, you know, I did a ton of homework, and we went and we talked for like 2 hours.
Oh my God.
So it was, yeah. And she was so sweet. I was so thrilled. It was one of my favorite episodes.
Oh my gosh. She's so great. So smart. And
oh yeah.
I just love, like, I feel like all musicians were hopeless romantics, you know? So I'm a sucker for a good love poem.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Well, I'm a sucker for Jimmy Page. So anything associated with him, I'm like, I got it. And that's actually kind of funny, because I met her through Jimmy's daughter, Scarlett, because I had her on the podcast first because of the photography connection. So I loved her. Loved her work. And I was a professional for about 10-12 years, so I reached out to her, and she said, yeah, sure. Then she said, you should have Scarlett Sabat on. I said, okay, well, I'll reach out to her. So I reached out, and I didn't really hear anything. And I saw she was doing a live Instagram, so I got on that, and I said, hey, you should come on my podcast. I said it to her, and she's like, oh, she's like, I should come on. Okay, yeah, I think we can do that. So I sent her an email, and I said, hey, you know, Scarlett Page has been on. You can feel free to talk to her about how it went.
Yeah.
And so she actually did, and she's like, oh, yeah, it's really easy. Real, you just sit back and have a chat.
So like,
thank you.
Amazing.
So yeah, so that was really cool. And she, like I said, she was one of the nicest people I've ever had on this show. So that's how I got introduced to your music, is through her. And I think during that Instagram live, I went and found on Bandcamp, and I listened to the track you have on Bandcamp, I Might Be Dead.
Oh yes, yes.
And I was like, damn, this is good. And that's when I sent the message on the Instagram live saying, hey, you want to come on the podcast?
Yeah, I remember.
So thank you, Scarlett. That song, it's an interesting title. I Might Be Dead. So what is this song about? Because the lyric, I found it intriguing that the chorus is, I might be dead, but I've got a lot of love in me.
Love in me.
That's great songwriting. I love it. What's behind the song? I'll feel it over, babe. I felt nothing for a very long time. I was in love, but now I feel nothing. I might be dead, but I have a lot of love in me.
The title comes from, I'm a huge Jethro Tull fan. My dog's actually named Jethro Tull.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's better than Aqualung, I guess.
What'd you say? Yeah, way better.
You don't want to name your dog Aqualung.
I know, it's not as catchy as Jethro.
Right.
You know? But then there's this song, one of like the many like 30-minute long songs. Yeah. There's Passion Play, like the album Passion Play.
Yes.
And in part one of Passion Play, there's a line that goes, and so I'm dead, the young man said. And okay. For some reason, for years, that line always stuck with me. And I was just like, I wanted to say something like that, like, and so I'm dead. Because I'm diagnosed with major depressive disorder, so I've always felt like dead on the inside in a way.
Really? You know? You're so effervescent.
Thank you.
That's surprising.
Like gloomy, you know?
Okay.
Well, I try not to be gloomy, but so it comes from that. That's where I Might Be Dead comes from. Living with depression, but also learning, like, okay, maybe I won't feel as happy as other people, and like I'll never reach that point, but it doesn't mean like I can't still enjoy life or enjoy things that other people enjoy.
Right.
Even though I have like a little storm cloud on me sometimes.
Wow.
And so that's where the I've got a lot of love in me comes from.
That's fantastic. That's a great, now that means even more now that I know about that. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. You and I have kind of talked a little bit offline, and you're working on your debut album.
Yes.
But we're in kind of a weird time right now. How has that affected work, you know, recording and writing?
Oh, God. Recording, I just say the oh, God, because I was supposed to be in the studio. I was planning on being in, like, an actual studio, you know, to record. Yeah. But I've had to record at home. It's not that it's bad at home. I just, obviously studios have like more instruments than I do and like flashier gear.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Mixing boards.
Yeah. Puts you more in like the zone. But so I've had to let go of that, you know, the superficial aspect. But it's been okay. You know, it's been okay recording at home. I do miss like being in the same room with my band. That has been hard.
So
I miss that a lot.
So how are you guys doing it? Are you sending tracks to the guys and they're recording their parts of it, and you just kind of Wow. So you're just trying to mention
everything. Everything's over email. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's crazy. But I have an amazing engineer. His name is Nicholas Essig. He's really good and really patient and understanding.
You kind of have to be in right now.
Yeah, right?
Oh, it's an unprecedented time for so many things. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And, you know, and I've kind of, it hurts me to see so many great people having to struggle so much. I mean, I've been so blessed that my job hasn't shut down, and they consider,
right.
And this is the only time they would ever actually consider me essential. You know, I asked for a raise and I'm not essential enough. But, you know, you got to get your day-to-day work done. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're essential.
Yeah. But,
so, you know, I've unfortunately had steady employment through this. But if, you know, if I was still in photography, I wouldn't. And so,
yeah.
And so I can kind of, I kind of feel it, you know, what a lot of artists are going through. And it's a struggle like I've never seen before for anybody.
Yeah, I feel like for visual art, like, photography where you need like another person, like acting, it's a struggle right now. But for a lot of musicians I've talked to, it's actually been good, because most musicians, or at least songwriters, like I am always working at home.
Yeah.
I'm always working on my own unless I'm in rehearsal or I'm in the studio.
Okay.
Recording. So it's been really beneficial, and like I've had time to organize my songs, because I'm trying not to write right now. I have a lot of songs, so I'm trying to organize it to fit into one album.
Wow, I've never heard anybody say, I'm trying not to write right now. That's a first.
It's a blessing and a curse, honestly. Because it's great. Like, when there was a point when I didn't have enough songs, I was like, yay, okay, I can write, like, all these. Like, sometimes it feels like anytime I touch a guitar, I, like, wrote a hook. Or, like, anytime I'm on the piano, like, I came up with three hooks. But now I'm just like, okay, maybe I should, like, start giving songs to other people, because I need to, like, stop flowing right now.
There you go.
You know?
So how far along are you guys in the recording process, and in the process of creating the first Hawk Percival and Friends album?
Well, right now we're dealing with the next single, and that's the one, like, I sent you the demo, and I should have the master in like a couple days. So that should be out in the next like 2 weeks.
Oh,
like finally.
But, which song is that?
It's INTPT.
That's out of the ones you sent me, that's my favorite.
Oh, yay.
I was going to mention that but I didn't know what it stood for. So I'm going to ask about that one. So.
I don't know. It's I don't know if you've heard of like the Myers-Briggs test. And I'm into psychology. Yeah, I really love psychology. And that's a psychology test, and it tells you your personality type, and it's based off of on the root level, introvert and extrovert, and like the different subgroups within that.
Yes, I had to do one of those for work or something.
Oh, wow.
A while ago. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't deal with the public or our customers at all, so I don't know why they made me take it. But
that's interesting.
But they made everybody take it, so.
Oh, wow. I guess, yeah, it'd be helpful in situations like that.
Well, it's funny. I think it's to try to help you plan a career path, but that's as far as they went with helping me try to plan a career path. Here, take this test. I'm like, great, thanks.
Figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe your career is somewhere else.
Right.
I don't know. But so this is your debut album that you're working on. So what is the environment like right now for new bands like you guys in as far as distribution and record labels, and are you having to do it everything independently?
Well, right now, yes. I'm unfortunately, I'm not signed right now, but I still, like, I can do a lot for myself, you know, but just not on the global, like, mass level, like, labels can, but nothing, like, the quarantine hasn't affected me that deeply because I'm not on, like, a global level, like, or I know some people who are supposed to, like, come out as artists, like, they signed right before the quarantine, and, like, if the quarantine didn't happen, they would be doing all their promos and stuff, but they actually had to stop.
Yeah, yeah, that's, because I know there's a lot of, you know, record labels go out and you get showcase gigs and all.
Exactly. You're traveling. We can't do that right now.
Yeah. So I'm just curious as to if you know, I mean, because you would be doing things like that right now. Are labels doing anything differently? Do they just want to hear demos at this point? Are you getting any feedback?
Well, they're definitely more open. Like a lot of, Rough Trade, like, yes. I don't know if you know, Rough Trade, they're New York, yeah. Like, a lot of their labels right now are open for demo submissions. It doesn't mean, they didn't clarify if they're signing anyone or not, but they're open, usually they're not, you know?
Oh, so okay.
I feel like a lot of labels right now are more interested in listening to, like, gather intel and, like, people that could possibly blow up once quarantine's over.
Right.
You know?
Get a head start on people before they start gigging again.
Exactly. You know? And that's why, too, like, I used to work in the studio, and, like, I've learned that labels respect artists that do most of the work by themselves first.
Okay.
You know, there's the less money, because they're a corporation. Labels are corporations. They're a business. The less money they have to put into you, and the more you make, the better for them.
Yeah, and if you're doing most of the work up front, you know, because physical copies aren't selling like they used to with streaming.
No, no. Unless it's vinyl, but that's for bigger bands, and it's for a novelty reason, not because people are actually listening to vinyl.
Exactly. I just had that conversation with somebody. Oh, who the hell was it? I don't remember. One of we were just talking about that, how vinyl sales are up unbelievably, but it's just really for collectability. People aren't playing them.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a huge vinyl collector. To be honest, I always like CDs.
Oh, wow.
It sounds great. They're portable. And I still actually have the physical. And you know, they're a lot sturdier than vinyl. You can take them. They don't get damaged as easily.
That's true.
And I still have a physical copy, so I feel like I actually own it. That's the problem for me with digital downloads, is that I don't, even if I pay $10 for an album or $15 for an album or a dollar, even a dollar for a single track, I don't have a physical copy. So I kind of just feel like I'm renting it. Because if something were to happen to my computer, then that's gone.
That's true. I understand. Yeah, and I think that's why that reasoning is, like, why people buy vinyl now, you know, to feel like they're holding on to something.
Exactly. And the cool thing is that, you know, with vinyl and even CDs, even though it's smaller, you still get artwork.
That's true. That's why I like vinyl, you know?
Yeah.
For the art. You know, you should be listening to it. But
that's the thing. It's another thing that we've kind of lost, in my opinion, with everybody being so busy, is that the art of just sitting down and listening to an album front to back.
It is a lost art.
And because I remember,
people do that.
Yeah, I remember being a kid, you know, going out and buying a record or a tape or a CD, going to my room, putting it on, and not doing anything but looking at the artwork and reading the liner notes. You know, seeing who played on what track and who they thank. Because when I read the liner notes, oh, thanks to this band and this band and this band, I'm like, those are the guys I got to check out next.
Yes.
So I think all of that has gotten lost with the digital age, because you can stream the songs whenever you want in whatever order you want. You know, even with CDs, with CDs you can skip around, but it's harder to skip albums and it's not a flick of a finger and you're in a completely different genre. You know, it still takes a little effort to do that with a CD, but you don't even get the artwork with the digital stuff. I mean,
digital.
You do get artwork technically,
But not in a way like where it feels like, wow, like this is really here. And like, let me look at this and like study it. I honestly forget that's included sometimes in digital downloads.
I do too, all the time. And I'm not going to sit there and listen to the track and stare at my computer screen looking at a JPEG.
Right. I know.
I'm sorry. And, you know, being a visual artist myself, it hurts me to say that, but I'm not going
to. It's true.
Yeah. I'm not going to stare at my computer screen while I'm listening to, you know, the new Failure album that I just downloaded.
Yeah.
So, gosh. So unfortunately, you're not gigging. You're not in the studio. Are you able to get the band together at all, to play together, to practice, or is everything just isolation?
Yeah, it's isolation right now because I just don't want to risk it. I mean, I am seeing actually my band to hang out, like in social distance.
Yeah.
Not playing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Which kind of things. Yeah, it's nice to see them. I miss them, like on a family level. They're my family, definitely.
Oh, yeah. How close to a finished product can you get before you send everything off to the engineer? I mean, is it, because I know I've had some producers and stuff on the show, and you know, when you're in the studio, they're giving you suggestions on what to try. Hey, maybe you do this, maybe you try that. Let's change the beats. Let's drop it 3 BPM, and that can make the entire difference in a song. But you guys have to do that all on your own right now. Is it more challenging when you don't have that kind of direction, or are you guys just used to doing it all on your own anyway?
Well, yeah, I'm always the main producer, and I'll let my guitar player produce with me too sometimes. But
Cool. Honestly,
I like that. I like to work. It's weird, but I like working.
I like to work.
I do. I like to work, and especially like producing is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. You know?
I try not to say Phil Spector mode anymore because he's kind of questionable.
Yeah, Phil Spector mode means something completely different now than it used to.
It means something so scary. Usually, I guess I go into like George Martin mode.
Okay, there you go. That's much better.
That's more PC.
Yeah, he wasn't known for carrying firearms.
I know. Nope, he wasn't.
So you're really open. If you're producing, then you must be really open to just experimenting with different things on your own songs.
Yeah.
That's good.
Definitely. It's fun. I've learned less is more is one of the things I've learned. It took me a while, but we got there.
But you don't get too attached to your demos then.
No, I'm not. It's weird. With the song, yes. It took me a while to be able to accept like criticism or even arrangement notes, you know?
Right, okay.
But when it comes to producing, I think it's because I'm changing something that's me already. It doesn't feel violent. So I'm like, okay, it's me. I trust me.
Okay.
Like, I know that I'll know what to do. I'm very type A.
No, really?
Right. You know, but when I do have moments where I'm just like, God, like, I can't tell if this sounds good, because sometimes I worry, because when I get too excited, I'm like, okay, is that like my ego saying it sounds good, or like, does it actually sound good? And that's when I'll call my guitar player or be like, can you please tell me, like, does it sound good, or like, tell me how should I adjust it, you know? And then he'll tell me back. Yeah,
that's great. You know, you work on your very first album, and to be able to have that kind of perspective. You don't hear about bands and artists doing that a lot.
Yeah, producing on their own? Or?
Yeah, well, producing and being open to changing things and bringing other opinions and perspectives in, especially in your first album, because you're doing it yourself, because a lot of what I've heard from some of the producers is that a lot of young and new artists will get demoitis, where they're just attached to the demos. And it's like, if you like the demos that much, why don't we just release the demos as the album?
No, I'm not. So I struggle with, I call it toxic perfectionism. Oh, but to me, nothing will ever be done, you know? And I have to kind of just say, like, okay, no, it has to be done at some point. So that's why I don't have poems changing, because in my mind, I'm like, okay, then it's not perfect. That's why it needs to be changed. So let's keep doing it.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Makes perfect sense to me. All right. So has the virus, the lockdown, everything, has that changed how you approach your music writing or performing?
No, I'm trying to think. No, if anything, well, the way it's affected, like, not quarantine, not corona itself, but quarantine, my like arrangements have gone better. I've gone better at like larger arrangements and like not necessarily having a bunch of things, but it still sounds like larger than life.
Yeah.
Honestly, COVID's been benefiting me. Like, I know that sounds like not
interesting,
weird, but it has, honestly, because I've always been a kind of loner type person. Like, solitude's very important to me. And I believe in using solitude to enhance like your talents, to reflect on yourself, to practice, to get better at anything you need to do.
Okay.
You know? So that's why quarantine, when it happened, I was like, okay, just more study time, more just like, let's see, like I got better at baking, you know, I got better at arranging, like.
That was, okay, so I did hear that. I heard that during this time down, you've actually gone and done a lot of cooking.
Yes.
So what's your go-to at this point with cooking?
Well, right now, like in the last 3 weeks, I switched to a completely vegan diet.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, what do I like to make? Well, I make this pasta sauce that technically, I mean, it's not vegan because I put anchovies in it. But it doesn't have any of the meat.
I won't tell anybody.
Yeah, right? It's my secret ingredient. You know?
Oh, I wish this was on video. I wish I was releasing this on video right now. That was great. That was the sweetest, most subtle little wink I've ever seen. All right, so you got so pasta sauce, and so basically,
I'm really good at like making healthy versions of the takeout I usually get.
Oh wow, that's fantastic.
That's like. Myself during quarantine, so I've been really healthy, honestly, during quarantine.
That's fantastic. I know my wife and I, we've had to change up our diet. Just, she's had some health problems that we've had to change up our diet for, just to see what's causing the problem. So we've we've eliminated a lot of stuff, and on doctor's orders, and now we're going to slowly start introducing a few things to see what reacts with her body. So, but because we've had to do that, we've been on this thing called the Great 30 diet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Oh my gosh. It's insane. It's not as hard as it sounds, really. You're eliminating any processed sugars. So you can't, have regular sugar. You can't have any artificial sweeteners either.
Okay.
So, like, for example, I have a cup of coffee every day going into work. That's got to be black now because you're also eliminating all dairy. So no cheeses, no milk, eliminating all legumes. So no beans, no peanuts.
Oh, what?
No rice.
It's so intense.
And no wheat. So it's basically fruits, vegetables, and proteins. But you know, it's amazing because after just like a day or two, I never got like the like a withdrawal from the sugar or caffeine. Never got that because I try to cut out as much like soda and crap like that as I can.
Yeah.
But you do it for a month, and I've lost like 12 pounds. My wife's lost almost 20. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, so we're feeling pretty good.
Is it working? Yeah.
Yeah. Today we actually it's over. It, like today or tomorrow, I don't remember what it was, but we just ordered a pizza. We just like, and you know what? We had pizza and had a glass of Coke, and the Coke, I was like, this is not good. I don't like this anymore.
Wow.
And then the pizza.
That's good,
yeah. And then the pizza, I was like, it tasted fine, But then afterwards, my stomach got a little upset. I was like, man, this is
Jerry.
Weird. Yeah, like, this is weird. It went away. So,
yeah.
But I'm like, I'm because we kind of decided we're going to stick with it for a while still. Just
yeah, that's see. Awesome.
So the quarantine's been good for us too. Kinda.
That's good.
If I can get my wife feeling better, not just on a bag, but feeling better, then we'll then I'll call quarantine a success.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing I think I've ever said.
I know.
So tell me a little bit more. When do you think the album will be ready for release? And what are you doing for artwork since everything's kind of on hold?
Well, I have most of my friends are artists. So that's always been like
That's good. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
I always have someone like reach out to, and my good friend Lana, she actually has the same birthday as me.
Oh wow.
Was I born before her? I was born a few hours before her.
Oh wow.
But yeah, we're the same night. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But she's gonna do my album artwork. She's amazing. She does like directing. She's just a visual artist, like all around, like media, everything.
Oh, what's your name? We'll plug her on the show.
Oh yeah, her name is Lana Shaw, and her Instagram is Lana Shaw Bitches.
Nice. So check out Lana Shaw Bitches.
Yeah.
Excellent. So do you have a prospective date when you think the album will be completed?
I want to get it done by like mid-October. And then have it out and like promoted by like early November.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So that'd be a quick turnaround once it's done.
Yes. So that's why like I have to get to work now. After this single, I'm like, okay, now I'm trying not to put out another single after this one. I've been on the fence because I have another song that I'm like, oh, it would be so good just on its own.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. I'm trying not to distract from, like, working on the album. So
that's one of the good flexibilities of being independent.
Yes, exactly. I don't have a label that has, like, guidelines or, like, rules. Like, you can't put out this song, you
know? Yeah, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting your album done and putting it in the queue, waiting for them to release it.
Exactly, yes.
It's done, it's out. So, what are you planning on doing to promote it since you can't do gigs or anything right now?
Well, I know people that run, like, blogs and stuff like that. I have, like, distribution platform, things like that. And honestly, just the people I know, like, I hate being like, I have connections. But, like,
well, you got one, you know, that I know of.
I know people, yeah. You know.
You got one really awesome one that I know about.
Yeah, so. I have many friends and, like, luckily, like, I worked at a studio for a while, and, like, I made a lot of my, like, business connects through... I worked as, like, a sync and licensing rep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I met, like, a lot of, like, label reps and, like, connections through that job, you know?
That's awesome.
And it was a blessing and a curse. That job was a blessing and a curse.
I know that feeling. I know what you're talking about. But the good thing is, if you get the album done... all a label has to do is pick it up for distribution. They don't have to actually put any money into creating it. So
into print, yes, exactly. You know, so that's my hope. Like, hopefully, this all does something for me.
Well, I'm hoping for that too. So that we'll all keep our fingers crossed for that.
Okay.
And if it sounds like the music that I've heard, it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for the rest of the music to come out. So. Where can people find the music that you've released and follow you so that when the album comes out, they can pick it up?
I'm on Spotify and Apple Music, so you can find my music there. And then my Instagram is The Hawk Percival. And so if you follow me there, I have a band one, but I'm really bad at running like multiple. So honestly, just follow my main one because that's updated things.
Awesome.
We'll
make sure to do that, and I'll be following you. And when you can get out on the road, if you can get to the East Coast, to the Washington D.C. area, I'll be there.
Oh yes, thank you. Yeah, I hope I make it over there.
Oh, me too.
The world fucking settles soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping so.
And we can travel.
Yeah, even if it's a modified way, somehow I'm dying to go see some shows again. So
yeah,
I know you're dying to play some.
Yes, I do Honestly, though, I kind of miss seeing shows more than playing. Like,
Really?
I was going to take this year off. That's why kind of quarantine kind of worked out for me. I was just hanging on again. I'm like, quarantine's the best for me.
I love quarantine. Let's do it next year.
But honestly, I was planning on taking this year off and just doing studio work, just reporting.
Wow.
Because I've definitely burned myself out on playing. I never, honestly, when I first started, I wanted to be more like Pink Floyd, like studio album based, where like I'm known for like my studio album work, but it's not the 70s anymore, so it doesn't really work like that, unfortunately. But maybe it will now, though, with quarantine.
And, you know?
You know?
You've got to do, as a musician and an artist, you've got to do something. If you can't tour, you can't play live, work on your studio chops.
Yeah, seriously, you know, that's why I've been trying to really just make it larger than life and all about my arrangements and just, because I really love like 70s production, that like over the top, like it feels like almost like a cinematic experience with like the arrangements sometimes.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. But you know, I've you know kept you for an hour. Maria, thank you so much for spending all your.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been a blast, and I'm really anxious to hear the rest of the music that you're putting together. So, I mean, October is going to be good for me because you know your album's going to be getting ready to be released. It's my wedding anniversary. My youngest daughter is born. Of course. It'll be my 19th wedding anniversary, and my youngest daughter will be 16.
Oh.
So
she's not so little.
No.
She's so young.
I know. I've got a 16. Well, she'll be 16. Then my son will turn 17 in December, and my oldest will turn 18 in January.
Oh, wow. I'm like, right in, they're like so close to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like 11 months between the oldest and my son, and then like 10 between my son and my youngest daughter.
That's so funny. Wow.
So it's crazy. But, you know, we get through everything all at once. It's Aww. Insane for a little while, and then it's over.
Yeah.
That's good and bad. But thank you so much for spending your time with me. I really do appreciate it. I'm looking forward to hearing everything.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
So nice.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Jabbers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.